and I'll pray for me this morning. Got a lot to say, and got near enough time to say it, so I got to pick and choose, and I'm going to say what the Lord gives me to say. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 29. If you would this morning, don't be saved, please let's stand up and read this morning. Read God's word. Excuse me. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which heareth the rain, searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give it to every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of thy attire, as many as not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again, Father God, to come together, Lord, and to worship you, Father. And exalt your name, lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, help me this morning, Father, as I speak the things you give me under your anointing, Father. And Lord, hide me, Lord, that you and the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. I thank you, Lord, for your revelation. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for this time and day that I'm in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, as I've said before, and I'm sure all of you remember, these messages to the churches Jesus is speaking is representative of the church, the physical church of that time, but it's more importantly, symbolically represented as a church in that age. Every church is supposed to be a Christian church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also figurative and representative of the churches in the ages to come. The Thyatira, church at Thyatira was a lax church. It covers the years from 500 AD to about 1500 AD. The word lax just means it's slack. It's slack in its teachings. It actually means lacking in strictness and firmness or negligence. In verse 18, we see as it starts out, the salutation to the Lord Jesus. In each one of these letters he writes to the churches, he describes himself. And it is valid and just what he describes as true. But notice what it says. It says, these things saith the Son of God. In the other letters, he has his description, but he doesn't put in there what he says in this letter. This is the longest letter to the churches. There's a lot in it, and I'll never get to cover it all. I found out after about, I've studied it partly in the past, but after about 4.5 hours or 5 hours of continuously studying last night, it would take 2 or 3 hours to cover everything the Lord spoke in these verses. In verse 19, He's given the commendation. Jesus gives support and recognition to his saints. Only he can truly be with us forever. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 31, it says that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We're bound to Jesus through our faith and the grace of Almighty God. Once you're born again, Jesus never leaves you. Never. I'm a testament to that fact.
Hallelujah.
Each and every one of us has probably felt like he has, but he's never left us. In verse 20, we find the complaint and the warning. I'd like to read that again, just for context. It says, notwithstanding, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip verse 19. It says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. That last phrase right there, I want you to hang on to that. The last to be more than the first. Jesus, of course, knows us. The Word of God says the Word, and he is the Word, knows our hearts. He knows the condition of our heart. He knows the thoughts. He knows every single thing about us, how we're made, how we think, how we're going to think. But it says right there, whenever we talk about our faith nowadays, that we're supposed to move up. You're not supposed to just sit in one place. You're supposed to move forward. Because he's telling the church there, he says, I know your works. I know all these good things. I know your love. I know your patience. I know what you've endured. But I also know that you're the last that you're doing, the last works, is better than the first that you have. That's an example to us. Then in verse 20, he goes on and says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Like I've seen it in some movies, here we go. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, I have read this many times. Well, I'm not many times. Lots of times in my past. I never knew exactly what it meant. Until a few years ago, I got to studying it a little bit. And it's hard to make the connection until you do a lot of studying. And Jesus is simply saying here, you have to connect the time that Thyatira is when he's writing this letter, what's going on historically in the time of the world, to connect all that. Anyway, when he's talking about the prophetess Jezebel, there's only one Jezebel mentioned in the Bible besides here, and that's in the book of 1 Kings. We all have heard about it. She was not an Israelite. She married an Israelite king, Ahab. And she caused Ahab to turn the whole country into idol worship. She had prophets killed. She tried to have Elijah killed. She done many, many, many bad things that I'm sure that we don't even know about. But it says here that Jesus calls this woman, he says, that woman. Now, I talked to you before, back when we was talking about the church of Pergamos, about spiritual fornication. That there's, you can commit spiritual fornication in the eyes of God by idol worship. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is typified in the Bible as a bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of Israel is the bride of God, the wife of God, so to speak. In the presentation that a marriage is talking about the union. That's how close they are. That's how much God loves Israel. That's how much Jesus loves the church. That's how much God loves us. When he's talking about the woman Jezebel and fornication, he's talking about idol worship. Now, they very well may have been a woman named Jezebel. It's not an Israelite name that the Israelite people give to their children. But there very well may have been one. The Bible doesn't say. But if you get to studying the Bible and you study history, and I know history some. I'm not a professional, but I know some. During the time, I mentioned earlier that this church period for Thyatira covers the years 500 AD to about 1500 AD. There was something that went on during that time period that affected what we know today, and we call ourselves Christians, but the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you remember back in Acts chapter 2, there was only one church, the church. And it didn't matter where the church was located. We're all fit together as members. That's what we, the God's word says, that's what we know, and it proves out to be so. When man gets involved with something that pertains to God, if he don't keep his eyes on God, man will mess it up every time. Well, during this time period is when the Roman Empire ruled the civilized world that was known at the time. And if you remember, whenever I was talking about the Church of Pergamos, they went through a lot of tribulation, a lot of pain, a lot of torture physically. A lot of them got murdered and tortured and killed for their beliefs. That lasted about 200 years. Well, after that part of Roman rule came another Roman Empire, Emperor Constantine. Now, he became, history says, a Christian. And he wanted to convert everybody in his kingdom to be a Christian. But he didn't want to do it like the Holy Spirit does it by choice. He wanted to do it by force. So he gave the church certain powers, and they became very powerful in the kingdom. And the church that, trying to figure out how to condense all this, the church that really came out on top was one they called the Roman Catholic Church at the time. Now, I'm not up here to knock what anybody, religion, or put them down. What I'm going to say today is I've got scripture for it, and it's the Word of God. And if anybody's got anything any different, you know, you can come tell me later, and I'll stand and say, okay, I was wrong. It's hard to come to these conclusions unless you study and figure it out. God's not headed, and Jesus is not headed. You notice on every one of his letters, he ends the last verse with, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you read that in Amplified version, it's going to say, let everyone that has a spiritual ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know what your spiritual ear is? Yes, your heart, your spirit. How the Holy Spirit speaks to you. When we're dealing with these verses and these scriptures, we're not talking necessarily about physical things. We're talking about spiritual things. So the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is represented in the Bible as a bride, which is as a godly woman, still in this world. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still in this world, in this present age. But one day, we'll be presented to God, complete, holy, and perfect, and to be in heaven. In these verses, idolatry and fornication are being represented as the wicked woman, that woman Jezebel. That's what Jesus called her. That's how bad this belief and worship is in the church at that time. That's how wicked it is to him. Because the doctrine's been taught in the church, it's disguised as being holy. But it's actually wrong and idolatrous, and it has deceived and is still deceiving many, many people. A particular church claims today, and probably rightly so, has the most members of any Christian-based faith denomination church in the world. Largest one. That's a lot of people. You say, what might be wrong with it? Well, after reading several hours last night I want to tell you, I would rather spend my time reading God's Word than I would be spending reading anything about some man-formed, man-made religion. But I can't, in my own conscience, stand up here and tell you not to do something without more of what I'm telling you what not to do. In Thyatira, the church age that Jesus is talking about during this time, during the Roman Empire, was known as the Middle Ages. It was also known as the Dark Ages. Reason being, historically, a historian would tell you it's called Middle Ages because no great manifestation of work as in a scientist or scientific discovery was made during that time. It was about 1,000 years. It's kind of like time almost stood still, history-wise. You know, there was great things before that in the world, you know, I don't know how they went in order, you know, the law of gravity or whatever, this and that. But during this time, there was no great worldly things discovered by the world. And it coincides with the time of what a lot of people call the Dark Ages, because at that time, even for them, the Bible is, as we know it nowadays, is something that's truly modern and epic and awesome. We can have a Bible and pick up one anytime we want to read it. We can pick what version we want to read. We can pick what time of the day. Now, the church at the time of Thyatira, one of the things that the Roman Catholics believe is that only the priests are able to read the Bible and interpret it to the people. They have two classes, the clergy and the laity. The clergy is the people that are in the, I'm going to give this name, a word I used, in, I heard in study, the popery. I don't know a better name to put it. It's just a, like a government institution from this level down to that level. They call it the clergy. The congregation is the laity. If I was to be mean about it, be smart people and dumb people. But that's not what I'm trying to do. In other words, if we were in that situation right here, right now, what I'm telling you is sent from God. It don't matter what you think or what you read, you're not allowed to read. You're not allowed to discern on your own. You hear from me because I'm up here. That's the idea. And there are many. I got to reading it. Sacraments, catechisms, stuff that I've never really known what it meant before. And there are so many things that would take me couple of hours to go through them step by step and search out the scriptures to prove them wrong. I'm only going to use two today. One is probably one of the most important. The second was one that I prayed the Lord in my heart to use. I also want to point out the word Catholic. Have any of you ever thought about looking up the definition to it? I never had it before until last night. The word Catholic means of a broad or liberal scope, or to be universal. Now, I don't know everything in the world there is about the Bible. I ain't never going to claim to. But from the experience I've had reading the Bible, what I've heard in my lifetime, I've only heard the subject broad mentioned one time in the Bible as far as the subject. And broad is the way of destruction, there is the way of Jesus. Now, paraphrasing, I don't know what exactly the word. But this church is claimed to be the universal church of humanity. That means if a human's going to go to church, this is their church in Christianity. They believe that their popery people, the clergy, has descended directly, either by appointment from, as they call him, St. Peter himself, Peter the Apostle, all the way down to where the Pope is today. He alone makes the decisions for how the church believes. He is, now I'm saying this as in their beliefs, he is appointed by God, he is anointed by God, and God's word is not at the top of worship. Now we go by God's word. God's word is infallible. They believe God's word. And they will use it for everyday living in their lives. And I'm paraphrasing a whole lot. I haven't got time to go into it. I mean, I haven't really scratched what I got, and I'm going to be up here 20 minutes. But to get on to what I'm saying, it's presented itself as a universal faith of humanity, as the most members of any Christian religion, religious denomination in the world. Now, it's hard to connect, if you don't study what the scriptures are saying to the church of Thyatira, with what I'm trying to tell you. And I say trying because sometimes I don't say the words right, I'm confused, I don't mean to be, Lord help. But the connection is the time that the church of Thyatira existed in its present day. And what was happening in the world at the time, what I was talking about, the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, denomination religion, whatever you call it. and Jesus' warning here in Revelation. Now, the key words here in verse 20 that you can connect with, it says, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, which is a spiritual fornication I just mentioned. Because we're supposed to worship God in truth and in spirit, not in ritual, not in any other way. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That last sentence is one of the things that I chose not to get into because it's not because it's controversial, because it takes so long to get into it. It's got to do with communion. Now, we view communion as a thing, just to put it real short and brief, as it is a form of worship with us, but it is not one of the forms of worship. To be saved, stay saved. It's one of their forms, which, you know, to stay in a state of grace with the Lord. In other words, to be saved. We're saved by the blood and the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him and Him alone. And that's what keeps us saved, through the grace of God and our faith. Well, they got seven, I believe it's, if I remember right, seven steps that they go through. One of them is this communion, transubstantiation or something like that. I'm not going to get into it, because what it boils down to is Satan is using this to seduce, to turn people away from the true worship of God according to His word. This is our authority. The Lord Jesus Christ is our way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that's not the way it is in the Catholic Church. Like I said, I'm not going to go through all the steps because it would take me way too long. There's seven things of this and 12 things of that. And I'm going to quote a couple of things they use in their, I don't know if you call it a Bible, it's bylaws or what they believe in, or I don't even know exactly what to call it. The word they use is the word canon, C-A-N-O-N, which is a religious law in the context it's been used. Now, two things I want to point out to you, the difference between what God's Word says and what they believe. God's Word says that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. No one else, nothing else. You're saved by faith through grace. It is not anything we can do. It's a gift of God, not by works. They believe that you can be saved by works and you can stay saved by works, to put it real brief. Now, that my scriptures for this, I just quoted one, is John 14:6. Now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I would think ahead and do things smarter. But I don't. As I quoted a while ago, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Does everybody understand what that means?
Yep.
The Catholic Church does not believe that. Catholics believe that salvation is through several things, number one being baptism. Now, baptism is important. That's another subject I could spend 2 hours on. It's important, but it is not a condition of being saved.
Right.
It says countlessly in the scriptures, and this is where they go astray, about being saved and being baptized. It is not a requirement, but it is something that you need to do. There's a significance to it. But it is not a requirement. Of course, they believe faith, good works, and remaining in a state of grace, which in their meaning is being in good standing with the Catholic Church, participation in the sacraments, and sacraments is religious ceremonies, And justification is not based on faith. Means not, you're not justified because you had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ came to save you and died for you. But it's justified in the accumulating and the progression of the above mentioned elements, which is baptism, faith, good works. They have other words for it, penance. I forgot all what I did read. I got to reading so much, I got to think, and I spent nearly an hour reading. I said, my goodness, I'm getting away from the Word of God here.
Right.
You have to be real careful about that. That's how Satan starts leading you astray. Now, don't get me wrong. I was reading the scriptures they were posting on their site, on the internet, to back up their claims. And if you're not thoroughly foundation-wise in the Word of God, you can think twice about it. Just like when Jesus asked Peter, said, who do people say that I am? And Peter told him, thou art the Messiah. And I'm going to paraphrase. And Jesus said, thou art right. And I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The revelation is what Jesus was talking about.
Right.
This particular denomination doesn't believe it's the revelation. They believe it was through Peter, a man. And the only man involved in anything in God's plan that we look to besides men is on the level we're at is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because he's man and God.
Yeah.
Now this is one thing I was telling about. It's called canon number 9 that they have in their, I don't even know, have their beliefs. If anyone saith that by faith alone the ungodly person is justified, let him be condemned. Now, I don't know what they do with the scriptures I just read to you. I don't know. I don't want to get in an argument with anybody that's a devout Catholic believer. I'm not trying to. I'm just simply saying what the Word of God says. You connect what's going on in the church at Thyatira, what Jesus said in that verse, and what was going on at the time in world history. The Roman Catholic Church was the only church. I mean, there were believers that gathered, and God's word prevailed in the end to today. But predominantly, if you go back and read through history, this particular church had gotten so powerful that it was as bad as most corrupt governments.
Right.
I don't even have to tell you, if you've lived long enough before you came to church and started watching the news, how many times you've seen stuff going on in the news about the Roman Catholic Church. You follow what I'm saying? I don't have to prove anything. Now, granted, in every denomination of faith, in every church building, maybe, not every, but some, there is stuff going on that should not be going on. Now, we stand here, I myself, our pastor, our Sunday school teacher. And oh, by the way, as Sister Teresa said last week, when Jesus talked about that woman, Jezebel, he's not talking about all women. He's calling her a woman because of the idolatry, because people are going away from the bride of Christ to another. He symbolizes it as women. Now, like I said before, there's nothing in the Bible that says that there was a particular woman at the church going on with this. Could be. There's nothing in the Bible I can find about it, or anybody's ever been in the Bible, because it's not there. I had a thing written down about the Romans Road. There's some other scriptures. I want to read this just for Romans 5:1. Let's go there. We're talking about this Catholic Church that does not believe the faith alone, the Christ alone, that you say, and that you're justified that way. You put that up there for me, is that? Romans 5:1. What's that first word say? Therefore, being justified, I'm sorry, first three words. By what?
Faith.
I'm a fairly plain person. I ain't never claimed to be much anything. I talk hick. I was born and raised in North Georgia in the country to put a dugout mound. I've never been to college. I didn't graduate high school. I made it to 11th grade and quit. Went back and got my GED. But that's pretty plain. Now, granted, they don't read the same version of the Bible. You say, might say, what version they read? I don't know what I do. All I'm going to say is the things that I've seen in my life, the things I have experienced in my life, the things I have been taught in my life, I'm 59 years old, I'll be 60 in December. When it comes to God's Word in the King James Version Bible, everything that I've seen that has had power has changed in this book. Now, granted, I haven't been, as far as comparison, I haven't been raised in another denomination or here or there. But when you've got the power, the real power, the original, correct power, I don't believe you're going to find it anywhere else. You might find some power. It could be in this world. I don't think it's going to be true heaven sin. Godly power, anointing. Anyway, to finish the verse, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Another mention. Now let's turn to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. The reason I'm reading so much of this is I want to make sure I back up what I am saying. With God's Word. This is not my opinion. Now, I'm not going to read all of this. It's more than a paragraph. But I'm going to read the... it's talking about faith. You do not get faith by good works. But when you have true faith in God, of God, from God, you're going to manifest good works out of your life. That's what these scriptures is talking about. Therefore, they've been taken out of context. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That's all I need to read about. You don't get faith by works, but you will have works if you have faith. Yeah. How we get faith? The Word. If Jesus Christ our Lord, God gives it. Now, the next big thing that I picked up, and like I said, I got to reading this morning, I said, goodness gracious, Lord, what I need to do is I pick out the right one, because there's like, I can pick out 10 and compare them with Scripture. But I ain't got time. Confessing sins. God's Word says there's only one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. And the only reason you can say that about that man is because he is the true Son of God and man. No other man paid the price and has the authority to forgive sin. No other woman, no other person. That put up John 3:16-17, please. I'm going to read it. I know it by heart, but I'm going to read it. If I know the Spirit. I know everybody knows this verse, but I want you to let this sink in. Mm-hmm. This is Jesus talking. He's talking to Nicodemus. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave what?
His only begotten son.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and perish, of course, meaning his spiritual death. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world. Now it says, for God sent. Who did he send? He didn't send a man, except the man Christ Jesus. He didn't send a man on the same form that we are, men or women, as Jesus. None of us died on the cross for it. I didn't die for any of y'all's sins. Y'all didn't die for mine. We do not have the authority to forgive each other's sins. We have the authority to do 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19, the ministry of reconciliation, which is to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and let the Holy Spirit do God's work.
Amen.
Now, I can browbeat somebody, make them feel bad about it, maybe, and get them to, even if I was to, get them to come and be saved. If they didn't mean it in their heart, it don't do them a bit of good.
That's right.
How you think confessing your sins to a man just like you or me is going to do you any good.
Right.
Now, yeah, I'm kind of fervent about it. Tony Evans, preacher Tony Evans, used that word fervent. I believe him. I've got God's word to back it up. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of details of one of these because, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that Satan, I'm going to paraphrase, he desires to deceive even the very elect of God. And in this manner, he feels like he's succeeding, and with some people, he may do it.
Right.
If you take the biggest Christian-based faith religion in the world and has the most members, and they converted into believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only man that can save their sins, it'd be a big turnaround, wouldn't it?
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the reverse of that's, it's like, I don't know, the word's not awesome. I don't know the right word. It's,
evil.
Yeah, evil. You know, sadly, awesome. How many people saying it's the same? People are banking their lives, their eternal lives, on this stuff. And people, I had somebody say to me one time, so what if you die one day and find out you're all wrong? Well, I'll find out. Mm-hmm. I've got enough experience with the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, staying with him since 2014 this time, not turning back and not slacking up. It has been hard. Don't get me wrong. It's been real hard sometimes. It's not his fault. My fault. Mm-hmm. But I've got enough life experience. No, I know this.
Amen.
That if I wake up one day in heaven and I'm wrong, well then, like Brother Scott said, I died in faith. I've seen enough to know that I'm not wrong. The Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I'm not wrong. The Catholics believe in the need to confess sins to a priest who has, in their belief system, the delegated power of absolution. That means to forgive sins, using their word. And further, penance. And the word penance means acts of repentance. It means works. Doing good deeds, doing things, you know, being nice to somebody. You know, maybe it involves money, maybe it doesn't, who knows. But further penance might be necessary to cancel some sins. Therefore, the forgiveness of sins is not based upon the atonement of Jesus Christ alone, but in large measure upon the works of contrition or feeling guilty. That's what that word means, feeling guilty by the sinner. It's not based upon the atonement of Jesus Christ alone. You know what that makes me think? That makes me think like there's some people out there that believe that Jesus died, but he didn't cover it all.
Right.
There's scriptures in the Bible that, I mean, that you just have to fling them out to the one God, the Spirit. the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't understand how people do this. I'm not trying to be mean, but just presenting what I know about it, it's hard for me to swallow. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been to other denominational churches there. And if you really get into this, real deep into it, and it's something you'll study on the side, be real careful. Stay with God's word. But it gets along the lines in history as, if you heard the terms Protestant and Orthodox. Now, the world would call us a Protestant religion. I'm not going to go into that. Man, that's a real deep thing. We follow Jesus.
That's right.
If somebody asks me if I'm a Christian, again, I'm going to say yes, but it's because Christ is in the Word. We don't follow books, fables, wives' tales. We follow Jesus.
Amen.
What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now, who's with God?
Jesus.
I don't know how people do this, but like I said, Satan, when you give him a door, he's going to take a baseball field. He's going to take a football field. He's going to take your life. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give them a place. That means don't give him an opportunity. A lot of times people do this because just as a lot of times people don't come to God in the right manner until they have no other choice left. And they happen to get upon the wrong door. But when they hear the truth, their heart should tell them. They should listen. Then again, if they have a hardened heart. But anyway, that's the comparison we've got. I picked those two because of significance. The denomination believes Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't, you know, cover everything. You have other things you have to do. And you have to remain in good standing with the church to stay saved. I say saved, they call it state of grace. Now, I'm here to tell you I love each and every one of you, but, you know, if something happens to me, and I do something wrong, get the flesh, get mad at one of y'all. Now, I've got some repenting to do, even if I'm right. But that's not going to keep me from going to heaven. I'm saved. And why am I saved? Because I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago, and the sacrificial Lamb of God and His blood is what paid for my sins then, my sins now, and my sins in the future if I commit any.
That's right.
For every person since the creation of time. Nothing else will cover it. I know we know this, but I know there's people that's listening on Facebook and other places. You hear my voice out there this morning, there's nothing. There's an old song that says nothing but the blood of Jesus, an old hymn song. It's got some true words in it. I don't think it comes right out and quotes scripture, it's got some really good words in the verses. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God, that's where I'm going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going to stand. And when I know when I say this and stand on it, as Jesus said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against me.
Amen.
Now we're going to move along. Verses 21 through 23. I'm going to do this real quick, man. I want to read something to you. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. I don't have my phone right now. Now, 21 and 22 tells us, and 23, what's going to happen. Verse 21 says, I'm going to read this out of Amplified. I gave her time to repent, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality, symbolic of idolatry, and refuses to do so. Take note, I will throw her on a bed of anguish, and those who commit adultery with her, her paramours, or her people, I will bring down the pressing distress, the severe affliction, unless they turn away their minds from conduct such as hers and repent of their doings. Verse 23 says, and I will strike her children, which means her followers, her devout people, dead, thoroughly exterminating them, and all the assemblies and churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches minds, the thoughts, feelings, and purposes, and the innermost hearts, and I will give to each of you the reward for what you have done as your work deserves. In verse 24, he says, now we get to the promise. He's told about the warning. Now we get to the promise. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they say, I tell you that I do not lay on you any other fresh burden or new burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. Verse 26 says, and he who overcomes and is victorious and who obeys my voice to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a scepter or rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assemblies of the churches. I've heard it, but I still love hearing it. You know who our overcomer is? Well, one verse, Zach put up 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. That's who an overcomer is. In those last three verses, four verses, what Jesus is going to do for the overcomers. He listens to what the Holy Spirit says. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything you'd like to say or ask?